The life of Peter is really some great study. Like we were talking about last week, we often like to compare ourselves to Peter because of all the negatives we see about him in the Scripture. If we're not careful, we forget about the fact that Peter grew, that he did not stay the same, and that what he was at the end of his life and for the bulk of his ministry was not what he was that we read about in the book of in the Gospels as the Lord walked the earth. But Peter had a great failure, didn't he? In fact, there's hardly a greater failure recorded in all of Scripture than that Peter denied the Lord three times. That he denied the Lord three times. It was a great failure. It was a failure of a proportion that we really don't see in the Scripture. We've seen many failures, and one of the great things about the Scripture is that the only one that's perfect in the Scripture is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Adam failed. And if there's any other teaching in the Scripture about any person in anything beyond more than a paragraph, we find out that that person sinned, and Peter sinned greatly. And he sinned as a Christian. And he denied the Lord three times. David had a man killed, and he committed adultery with Bathsheba. But what Peter did was even worse than that. And at the end, what did he do? What did he do if they had that after those three denials and the cock crowed? What did he do? He wept. It's a heart-wrenching story. But I want you to know, it made a difference in the life of Peter for the rest of his life. It made a difference in the life of Peter for the very rest of his life. When other people who were saved, other Christians, in their experience, denied the Lord and went through troubles and did things they ought not to have done, how do you think Peter reacted to them? I think he reacted to them the same way the Lord Jesus Christ reacted to him. Isn't that right? How did the Lord react to him? Let's look at that, those things. So we're going to give out some Scripture. Number one, you can read Luke 22, 31-34. Read Becca, you can do that. Hold on just a second. And then who can read John 12, verse 24? First, Luke 22, and then John 12, 24. Who can read that one for me? Curtis, good. All right. So Becca, why don't you go ahead in Luke chapter 22. Starting there in verse 31.
And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, and he seek you after me. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and lean thou on confidence and strength in thy word. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both principles and answers. And he said,
That's it. The beginning of Peter's sorrows was here. The Lord told him what was going to happen. I want you to notice there. The Bible says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Was there anything good in Peter? Had in Peter anything good been wrought? Had God made anything good in Peter at this point? Yeah, no doubt about that. But was there those things that were not good in Peter's life? One of them was his pride. It's a prideful thing for God to tell us what we will do and then tell God that, though, that we're not going to do that. Lord, don't worry about that. I'm not going to deny you. I'll go to jail. I'll even die for you. That's a prideful thing. When God before said, no, you're not going to die. You're not going to die for me. You're not going to go to jail on my behalf. But Satan had desired to sift you. Now, How many have ever had any experience with wheat in its wholeness and from its beginning? And can you eat that? It's all hard, right? It has to be sifted, isn't that right? It has to go through a process where in the old days they bang it, and then the sleeve or the chaff would be blown away with the wind, right? And you'd be left with the kernels of wheat. Now, which one is good for use? Which one is the useful part that we're really going for? That's right. Now, when the devil comes and the Lord allows us to be touched by the devil comes with a ferocity that he desires in the end that there is nothing useful left in us. That's what he wants. Now, can the devil take away our salvation? Can he keep us from heaven? But can the devil, if we allow him, take away every useful part of us in this world? He sure can. If we let the devil do it. Now, the devil is going to have opportunity to touch us, just as he had opportunity to touch Job. But when that happens, there is a crucial point in our lives. There are folks in our church right now who are going through crucial parts in their lives, where the devil has touched them, and is touching them. Not to the point of destruction, but to the point of decision. Am I going to follow the Lord, or am I going to quit? Am I going to go after the things of God and lay aside these bad things in my life so that I can fully go after the Lord? Or am I going to allow this to bring me to a place where there's no usefulness for me to the Lord? In other words, there's a point in our lives where we are a wheat just cut down. And really, there's probably many points like this. And trial comes. And in the midst of that trial, the devil's going to come and say, let me tell you what you're supposed to do here. And he's going to give us opportunity to, in the midst of a trial, fulfill some desire or some need in an illegitimate way, in a sinful way. And if we go about that way, what the devil's trying to get us to do is to be that chaff. To let the seed fall by the wayside, to fall on the ground that cannot be used, and be crunched and destroyed underneath the feet of men, and all that's left of us is chaff. In your experience, have you ever known a Christian whose life seemed to be no more than chaff, no more than the sleeve of wheat? How did that come to pass? At some point in their life, something happened. And God said, I want to burn that chaff away. I want it to blow away with the wind. And I want what's left to be usable. That's what was going to happen to Peter, wasn't it? And the Lord said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Now, Peter didn't have to get saved again, but he did have to. There's some things that had to change in Peter's life. Let me ask you, did it change? Did Peter's life change? From this point on, Peter's life is going to be drastically different. And it's a heart-wrenching story. Who's got John 12? 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you form of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit.
With a corn of wheat, with a grain of wheat, with a stalk of wheat, it's not usable until the wheat is taken out. Isn't that right? You cannot use it until the wheat is taken out. When we first get saved, we're really like a grain of wheat, the whole thing. But those things that aren't usable, those things that take away from our Christian walk, God begins to pull those things away. And when the word corn here is used, it's not the corn that we think of. We think of the yellow corn that we pull we shuck, right? He's speaking about wheat and the corn of wheat, the kernel of wheat inside. But you have to be able to get away. You have to get that stalk away from what's inside. If that never happens, if we continue to be just a stalk with the life of the seed inside, but never out, will we ever be able to be fruitful?
No.
Something has to happen in our lives where that's pulled away, isn't that right? Something has to happen where that is beaten away and out comes the seed. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That you can look back in your own life and recognize instances where those things, those parts of the wheat that weren't going to be used were pulled away from your life. One of the ways God does that is through the devil. Now, the devil doesn't want what God wants. Let's be clear about that. But God is able to use the devil to pull away those things in our life that aren't the seed, that aren't the life-giving parts of us. He can pull them away. Now, he wants to pull them away, so that's what we are, is the deadness of the chaff. But God wants to be pulled away so that we can be planted and used and become fruitful. If we want to become fruitful, there's going to be times in our lives like, you know, seemingly bitter, but in the end, it brings about a joy that cannot be described. Who can read Luke 22, 54 through 62? Luke 22, 54 through 62. Can you do that for me? Liz, thank you. When you get there, go ahead and begin to read it.
Then took they him and led him down, and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with them." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of an hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately both he had spake and thought through. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and he remembered the word of the Lord, what he said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me Christ."
Where was the Lord Jesus in relation, in spatial relation to Peter as he denied the Lord three times? He was in an earshot. Every time that Peter denied the Lord heard it. Now, would the Lord have known, even if it was in another part of the world, that Peter was denying?
Yeah.
And so, the important thing is not that Jesus heard in the relation of Jesus and the Lord, but it is important in terms of the fact that Peter knew that Jesus heard. Isn't that right? That made the difference. You see, if Peter didn't know that Jesus heard, Peter thought, "Well, Jesus didn't hear me say that." What do you think Peter would have done in the end after he had denied the Lord three times? Do you think maybe he would have wept a little less bitterly? You see, what really brings the sorrow to our lives when we sin like this, when we don't do what we ought to do, is the remembrance that I didn't do this out of the sight of the God who loves me and saved me. He heard me say that. Now, when we did it, were we thinking that? Do you think Peter was thinking, "Well, there's Jesus over there, I'm not going to say this"? Do you think he was thinking that way? He wasn't thinking that way. But we often think, in the midst of our sinfulness, in the midst of the things that we're doing, that there's no one that can hear. It's easier to sin when there's nobody there that is going to know that we did it. Isn't that right? Or if the people that we're sinning with don't care. But when we understand that there is someone there who hears and sees, and then we realize it. Wait a second. The Lord heard that. The Lord saw me do it. Then it begins to make the difference. Peter wept bitterly because he was bitterly sorry about what he did, wasn't he? He was bitterly sorry. He was mortified as the Lord looked at him. That's what happened, isn't it? The Lord turned to Peter. Now the Lord did not do that to say, see, I told you so. That is not why the Lord did it. He turned to Peter to remind him about what he said. Because what had happened, and it was done, right? Peter denied the Lord 3 times. He couldn't take it back. But what did the Lord say back in Luke 22 that he was doing for Peter? That's what he said, didn't he? He said, Peter, I pray for thee. When thou art converted, strengthen the right knee. That's why I believe the Lord Jesus looked at him. To remind him, Peter, these things are not a surprise to me. I knew that you were going to do this. But remember, I am praying to you. What do you think the Lord Jesus Christ was doing as he looked at Peter? What do you think he was doing? I mean, he was being slapped around at this point. He was being punched in the face and interrogated. What do you think the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ was on? He was praying for Peter. There's no doubt about that in my mind. The Lord Jesus Christ was praying for Peter. In the midst of our bitterest failures, in the midst of our sinful things that we do, you know who's praying for us? You think Jesus said, Peter went ahead and did it. I guess I'm not going to pray for him. You think that's what he did? No. No, the Lord Jesus Christ continued to pray. Have you ever had someone who you said, I'm not going to pray for that person anymore? You ever have that? You ever think that way? I'm done with that guy. I'm not going to pray for them. That's not the way the Lord Jesus Christ acts towards us, is it? Because the sinfulness of Peter was against who and who alone? Jesus. And there was the Lord praying. Let me ask you this. Is Jesus praying for us? Is he praying for us today? What Christian is Jesus not praying for? There's not one. What about the one who really, really is doing bad stuff? I mean, they've just fallen off and they've gone way bad. Has Jesus stopped praying for them? Who can read Romans 8:34? Who can turn there and read that verse, John? And then who can read Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Who do you know? Someone hasn't read yet. Can you? All right. So, let's look at Romans 8, verse 8:34.
What is he that commanded Jesus Christ, that yea, rather, that is risen him, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us?
So who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also made intercession for us. You know what that means? The Lord Jesus is praying for you in our hearts. You want to be strengthened in your faith? Remember that the Lord Jesus is praying for you. There is something in particular that he is praying for you. Now, what was he in particular praying for Peter? Back there in Luke, he said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren, right? What was Peter being prayed for by the Lord Jesus? That he would be converted and that he would be able to strengthen the brethren. Now, in order to be able to strengthen the brethren, what did Peter have to be? How strong was he as he wept bitterly? He was broken. There was no strength left in him. And so what are the things, when there's no strength left in us, that we need to remember? And before we go there, who's got the Hebrews 7 verse? Danielle? 7:25, yeah. So is Jesus alive today? What is the reason? What is one of the reasons why he is alive? Not only that he's God, but why? Why? What is he doing? He ever make it intercession for us? Isn't that right? And so he is doing that. He is praying. But as Peter wept bitterly, there was no strength left in him. And I want you to know that was a good thing, because the strength that he depended upon before was whose strength? His own. But after this, whose strength would he depend upon? The Lord's. The Lord's. What makes the difference? How are we going to be strong enough to be able to strengthen another person? How is a mom and dad going to be able to be strong enough to strengthen their children? It cannot be just because they're older and more experienced. It cannot be so. Peter had known the Lord for the longest. I mean, he had been with the Lord almost from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. But that's not what made him strong enough, is it? It wasn't. Now, going along and being with the Lord longer makes a difference, but it makes no difference without a particular person in us. And who is that person who lives in us to strengthen us? The Holy Spirit. That's right. And so look there, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 2, in verse 4. Acts chapter 2, in verse 4. So you might read that for me.
They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave them
utterance. Now this is speaking about the 120 disciples, but who is one of them? And what did Peter do after he was filled with the Holy Ghost and these folks went out and spoke all the wonderful things of God? He got up, preached the gospel in the midst of a people who had killed Christ. What happened? Thousands got saved. That's strength, isn't it? That's strength. But it did not come because he was strong. It came because who is strong? The Holy Spirit of God. You see, it didn't matter how long Peter had been a Christian. It mattered about who he was filled up with. We can know all the facts and know all the things that we've learned for years and years and years. But it means nothing. And there's no power in it without the Holy Spirit of God. It is Him that we must depend upon, and it is Him that we must say, I'm going to live according to the Spirit of God today. I think we ought to pray often that God fill us with the Holy Spirit. Because as we are filled up with Him, we become what? Less. If there's two liquids in us and the Holy Spirit, the more of the Holy Spirit that is filling us up, the less of us there is. I'm going to say, God, less of me and more of you in our lives. And so was Peter's life drastically changed? It was changed because of the Holy Spirit whom he began to depend upon. And no longer was he depending upon himself. Right? No longer was he depending upon himself. Go to Romans 8. I'm almost done. Romans 8 and verse 15. Who can read verse 15 for me? If you're there, just go ahead and raise your hand. And if you haven't read already, go ahead and read it for us. Corey, are you there? Okay, Wallace, go ahead.
When you do not receive the Spirit, it makes you a slave of the creator. If you receive the Spirit, it's a mission.
Amen. So you have not received the Spirit of bondage. You have not received the Spirit of bondage. In other words, you are not enslaved to what you once were, but you have received the Spirit of God. He's in you. Isn't that right? And that's the one. He is the one in whom we are strengthened by. Let me ask you this. Are you filled with the Spirit? Is it Him whom you depend upon day by day by day? Or have you depended upon your own strength? If we are depending upon our own strength, something will come. Now, God allows you to burn away that chaff. Burn away that chaff. Other things that help us, the Word of God. It is the Word of God that strengthens. All Scripture is profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished into all good works. We want to be strengthened. We have to be people of the Word. We have to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. We have to be people of the Word. And we have to understand that there is one who's praying for us. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you. How's that make you think? What does that make you think about? That's a glad tidings type of thing. So glad that He's praying for us. May we be also praying for one another. But the beginning of Peter, the beginning of this book of 1 Peter, as Peter, what was it that led Peter to be able to strengthen his brethren? It was not how long he had been a Christian. It was not how much he knew. It was that those things that need to be burned away were that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he knew and loved the Word of God. May God help us to be that type of people. Brother, we want to be a people who are able to go into this community and to help them to come to know Christ as their Savior. There are many Christians who are sitting at home today and have not darkened the door of a church in years. You know what they need to be? Strengthened. Who's going to do that? Who's going to do it? It cannot just be because we've been a church for so long. It's got to be because we are a people who love the Word of God. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And God will lead us to those people. He'll also lead us to those who are ready to get saved. Oh, no. So may God help us. That we may be a people who are able to strengthen and help one another. Let's pray. And we'll get together again in about 15 minutes. Father, we do thank you for this time. And we pray and ask that you would bless our church. As we begin to look through this book of 1 Peter, help it to make all the difference in our lives. Help us desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That we would not do those things that grieve Him. We beg of you, Father. That you would help us to understand that we can do those things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Father, we'd understand if we were to do such things that it is worthy of our weeping, didn't it? Father, help us, I beg you. To live as you would have us to live. Not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Holy Ghost. Jesus. We pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.